I was asked by the Berkeley Women Leaders in Business at Berkeley Haas to kick off their evening Manbassadors session, convening a conversation with men and students of all genders next month. That came on the heels of presenting to an affinity group of people of color at a large corporation. I must be an expert. Ha! I'm so not. I'm learning, though, and the reason why is quite simple. I keep trying, testing, messing up, and trying some more. I am a slow learner. I tried and tested 35 years ago when I really thought my fiancé should take my name. I made my case. I said, one family. Yes, she said, and continued, so just take my name. I all but scoffed. Come on, Jen, it's a simple tradition, I said. Whose tradition? She asked. Slavery was a tradition, too. I had never been put on my heels quite like that. I was glad for the learning and the resolution. I now see that my thinking was pretty typically privileged, a word I would not hear used in this type of context for a couple decades. When I did begin to hear it, I tested it, inquired about the term, sometimes with privileged irritation, sometimes with genuine curiosity. And I'm still thinking and risking asking with both mindsets, one of which generates learning. I hope those of you who, like me, are white and or male and or straight and or cisgendered will test your irritations, confusions, and honest ignorance too. Don't be afraid to push back, but listen to what you hear. It's risky to test your opinions like this, but one of the huge marks of privilege is we get to stay safe and silent. We choose when we want to risk. We don't have to explain ourselves, for example, in the way that a woman engineer has to prove herself, or an African-American in a quote-unquote white neighborhood has to explain himself, or a trans woman has to explain why it's moral to be so, whether she is mistaken about her own self-identity, or why she should get to marry. What if you had to face those questions, spoken or simply harbored inside by those privileged, not to have to deal with them every day? My son invited me to a series for white folks about race. Over 3 evenings, I got tested a lot and felt pretty testy at times. I came away with one big thing reinforced in a challenging book I'm reading called White Fragility. And by the way, if you feel some inkling of resentment about that title, White Fragility, then you're probably feeling, you guessed it, white fragility. Well, this was my takeaway from the book and the 3 evenings. I am not a, quote, good white person. I am so much just a white person. It's time to quit patting myself on the back while mentally punching Trump and the racists in the nose. I need to help myself to a heaping plate of ignorance served up in the form of honest questions about what it means to be white in America. We need to figure out a whole lot of our own stuff before we start telling, quote-unquote, those people, whether those people are African Americans or racist whites, what they need to do. I always appreciate comments or direct email messages to dan@danmulhern.com, and I encourage you to do so today, especially if what I'm saying is triggering for you. Triggers can be great gifts. They're not great if we lash out, fight, or if we just flee the easy, privileged, white thing to do. Triggers are great if we can inspect them with curiosity and compassion. In too many ways, we white folks are afraid to let each other have our mixed and triggered feelings. Our moral indignation and sadness, but also our confusion, what did I do? And shame, When have I ever really stood up when little or big racist things have been said or done? And our feelings of helplessness. These mixed feelings are often the hardest to grapple with, so instead of doing the hard work of resolving our ambivalence, we cop out. Leader, opt in. Lead with your best self. A couple quick footnotes. How did Jennifer and I resolve the name thing? Well, I suggested saving face and seeking win-win. Why don't we just take each other's last names as our middle names? And we did. I've also used the word in here, cisgendered, and in case this word may be new to you, it means those whose gender identity matches the sex that they were assigned at birth. That's from Wikipedia. I had to risk asking this question of someone to learn that it has to do with gender, whereas being gay has to do with one's sexuality. Those are two different things. Sometimes I have felt like, geez, poor me. This all used to be so simple without these words like cisgendered. This is an aspect of privilege, in the sense that when a person is gay but raised hetero, or when their gender identity is different than the way they were born, they have had to deal with the fact instead that this all used to be so hard. The sacrifice, if we can call it that, in being tolerant is minor compared to the inner conflict and often social abuse that come with living in cultures that are rigid in their definitions of what is quote-unquote normal.